Hey, go-getters, let Noom Sport Hydration Tablets power up your fun and keep you ready to move. Simply drop, dissolve, and enjoy crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade or lemon lime. With 5 essential electrolytes and crafted with clean, non-GMO, vegan, and gluten-free ingredients, Noom should be your go-to hydration choice. Because when you're hydrated, you can do more, go further, and recover quicker. Shop now on NoomLife.com and get ready for endless fun, because anything can happen after noon.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
How's it going, everyone? Welcome into the Griplock preview for The Preserve, going on this weekend, starting tomorrow. We're back at Kale's Place, and I don't know if it's Kale's Place anymore.
I don't think it's Kale's Place anymore.
But they're still going to call it Kale's Place.
Especially it's the place that Kale Bill now.
If Ian's on commentary, how many times do you think they say Kale's Place?
Now it's the place that Kale Bill.
The place that Kale
That's
Bill.
That's where it transfers over.
All right.
Yeah. It's the place that Kale bought.
There you go. Not a lot of changes to the course this year. It seems like there's a few new pin placements, but overall should play like the same course. Because even on the pin placements, it's the same tee shot, same OB. It's just like a little shorter, a little longer, stuff like that. And historically, this has been a birdie fest. You know, I think last year we saw a few different people get to 15 under, if I'm not mistaken, in a round. And you typically have to average over double digits to win out here. I think Ricky had to average 12 point something last year to win. I think he got to like 37, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 37.
So back in the day, we actually used to talk about The Preserve as like disc golf's too easy example, number one, right? And we would talk about it in that way. Nowadays, with how the sport's kind of evolved, I don't necessarily mind this the identity of The Preserve being you got to go low out there.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think my biggest issue is because if you look at The Preserve and the layout, you do have a lot of par threes, I think, that are fairly easy. But a big reason for why it's so scoreable is because you have these tee shots that aren't super pinched and not a lot of OB. So when you have that combination, like, I don't know if there's another course on tour that you see such openness and forgivingness off the tee shot and then not a lot of OB in the landing areas. So I think that's a big part of it, is like there are some very straightforward holes on this course where you just throw your drive as far as you can down the fairway and then throw to a pretty unprotected green.
Yeah.
I agree. I don't mind a change of pace and some higher scoring. I think this is a good place to have it. However, I like to see the really low scoring courses that are birdie or die. I think I like to see a really heavy dose of par threes on those. And there is a pretty good dose of par threes in this course, but like a straightforward par three or par four for me just doesn't really do it.
Yeah.
Because it's like you're going to throw,
like hole one, for instance, I think guys were getting to like a 200-foot approach shot.
Yeah.
And it's like second shot is just
There's a lot of just boring chips, or the tee shot, there just isn't really, it's basically like, okay, how far can he throw up? There's not a ton of danger on certain shots. So I think that's what it is like, I don't mind it when it's a lot of par threes. And that's just not really the style of course we play anymore. But it's weird because if you look at the layout, like there are some very cool holes. I think the design isn't bad. I think some of the holes are a little bit like maybe an afterthought, but for the most part, like, it looks like a fun course and a lot of cool designs. I just think, honestly, if it was tightened by OB, we wouldn't even talk about it the same way, because I think a lot of the tee shots and ways that the the course are laid out are very similar to holes that we like on other properties. You've got some low ceilings, some water to deal with, some really well-decorated greens. They use mounds around the tee a few times. They have a lot of good things going. It's just that lack of OB means that guys can really just spray it out there.
Yeah, I think that this is a course where if you're a fan of debate night, if you're not, I understand, but if you are, you heard.
What the heck?
It's arguing just isn't some people's things. It's my thing. I love it. But this is a good course where I think they could be testing some of what Brody was talking about, where they could be bringing OB into play more in the middle, where it's like short of the basket, because right now it seems to be like, okay, there's water left or don't go right or so, like there's a few, like there's that one iconic par three that you have to like clear stuff, but a lot of it is like if you go deep there's OB back there. And Brody's point on debate night he was making is by putting that OB sections short of the basket, it now forces players to make more decisions of like, well, do I want to attack this green from 450 feet out or do I want to throw a 250 foot chip shot and then get up and down? But like I said, I also don't mind that this course has kind of turned into that identity of like, you got to get out the gates hot. And I think that favors certain players too.
Yeah, I think that, you know, at the end of the day, the players are too good now for you to just give them 150 foot wide landing zone and not a super tight tee shot. Like, they're going to hit that every single time. We play this event in the dead of summer. There's not going to be a ton of wind most of the time for that reason. Because any course like this, if you threw wind into it, things could be different. But that's just usually not the case. And therefore, it's going to get shredded. And I don't, it's just like, I don't feel like the Preserve as a course leans into that identity. I think it's just what happens. And I think that's why you get the weird in between of like, it scores really low, but I don't feel like the course is trying to do that.
Yeah.
It's just maybe they aren't willing to be like, we're going to throw in all.
Well, I think it almost feels like it's designed to be a really fun place for like us to go play.
It reminds me of like, it reminds me of like the Boulders course at North Cove,
yep,
where it's like, that's a super fun course and it's challenging,
but
not, it's just not pro tour level. Yeah.
But regardless, one cool thing that's about to happen with this weekend is, and you know, typically we don't talk about sponsorships, but when a big outside company gets into disc golf, obviously we want to talk about it a little bit. This tournament is actually, the way they worded it, is connected by Microsoft Teams, which is fun. You've seen them kind of get involved with the sport. Some and have these Q&A integrations throughout the year. Do we expect this to be just the namesake, or do we expect to see them a little bit more involved, similar to what we saw with the chess.com earlier this year?
Yeah, it's always interesting when a bigger company gets involved in disc golf, because they obviously take their activations very, very seriously. This isn't just like if a disc golf company were to sponsor like an elevated basket, give them a prompt, and then it gets ignored half the season.
When would that happen?
I don't know how that would happen, but I'm sure that would never happen.
No, but like a company like Microsoft wouldn't put up with it.
Yeah, right.
That makes sense.
But like they're used to advertising. They're going to have expectations, you know, saying things like connected by Microsoft Teams, like they want everything specifically integrated a certain way. So I'll be curious to see if how involved their level of integration is and how the Disc Golf Pro Tour handles it. Like if we feel like it,
are we going to see some Microsoft commercials?
I don't know. Yeah. Was that part of the package?
Imagine the jarring contrast of this like beautiful Microsoft commercial.
I don't know, dude.
That could be something. It's just like, oh, sick. This is a PowerPoint commercial now.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. It was just a normal disc golf commercial. it was just made on PowerPoint.
Check out the service, bro. Yeah. I don't know. It's great, though. It's awesome. They were able to secure that sponsorship. I think it's really interesting now. Is Microsoft connected to that area? No, they're connected more to the Portland area, aren't they?
I think they're out west, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. The curious thing nobody's really talking about is why this event, right? Who made the connection? And if we can sell the Preserve to Microsoft... You know,
Microsoft Teams.
Okay, but it's still an arm of Microsoft. Why can't we sell other much larger events to bigger companies? That's weird about this to me. I have no idea. Like,
maybe Kale's brother or something works at Microsoft.
I'm half wondering if this is a situation where it's like, oh, Ford? Well, yeah, the local Ford dealership down the road that the disc golfer works at. Like, does somebody work at Microsoft Teams?
Like, yeah, I mean, it could be a situation, but I mean, they surely still paid.
Oh, I'm sure they paid. No, I don't doubt that. But I'm just like, how deep was the connection? Yeah. Or like there had to be one.
You would think, simply because like Worlds, we've had sponsored by like LL Bean,
it's an outlier.
Right? We've had Barbasol.
It's an outlier.
But like Microsoft Teams is like a Microsoft is like a massive company. And like, not like, to say Barbasol and them aren't.
Well,
but
LL Bean, like that's a very much a demographic hit.
There was also a Columbia elevated basket at Portland.
Looked great.
Which Columbia, I mean, I think that's a no brainer.
Yeah. And like Microsoft Teams is huge. I mean, a lot of people that work in any kind of office structure are going to use Microsoft Teams, but
maybe it was just like a behind the scenes negotiation where like the Pro Tour could get like free Microsoft Teams, something or another.
I don't know. Well, Kale,
you provide a connected by.
Kale's the one that texted me about it months ago when they announced it. So I don't know if he had
maybe
a hand in it,
maybe he's the connection,
but it's a great get.
It is
like they've got,
we need more of it.
They probably got the best presenting sponsor of the year. And it's like I said, it's the Preserve. We got a number of big players aren't even at this event.
Yeah. Which, well, you know, let's just get straight to the players. Ricky Wysocki is here. Last year's champion, has some really good recent history out there. From what I remember, was first last year, second the year before that, and I think first back in 2021, if I'm not mistaken. Do you think this really good history out here is going to be enough for him to carry him to his first win of the season?
I think no. And the reason being, I mean, I would never write him off, but the reason being is, the weird thing about Ricky is this course is not necessarily a course that you would think lines up for him super well. I know there's a lot of opportunity to throw like overstable flex backhand shots. I think that's what he relies on a lot, but it's not a forehand heavy course by any means. So it doesn't set up for him in that regard, in which case, whenever I don't ever want to call him a forehand specialist. I think he still has a slight advantage on a forehand heavy course, though. And when he's playing at the level he is right now, where he's been good but not awesome, I can't just look at a course that suits the entire field.
He's been pretty awesome, but he isn't winning.
He hasn't been as awesome as the best couple guys.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't been in that top tier. He hasn't won. So it's hard for me to look at a course that favors pretty much everybody and say Ricky is going to have an advantage out here. But, of course, winning the tournament twice, you know, that does help out. He knows the path to do it. But I don't think it's easy to just paint him right away as the favorite.
I want to ask a different question after this. But first, Ricky, what I think it is Ricky, as much as he said it, we've all said it, is a momentum player. And what I think it is about the Preserve isn't necessarily that his game lines up with the Preserve, but I think that this course doesn't have that many momentum stopping holes.
True.
So I think because this is a course where, and I'm bringing this point up kind of on the opposite point when we get to Gannon, but this favors the guy that comes out the gates really hot. Ricky's 15 under was round one last year. Mm-hmm. And then he got a little bit worse, but I think his worst round was like 10 under. But it's a something where I don't think this course has enough teeth where if Ricky gets going, he's gonna have to do something stupid to stop him, whereas some what we've been seeing this year is Ricky gets going and then he just has a hole that just like pumps the brakes.
That's a good point.
And that's what pulls him out. I think that it's not necessarily his game lines up with the Preserve, but more so when he's like front of the box and he's churning, this is just like, it's almost a downhill course where once you get churning, then it's just like all downhill.
It is a very good point.
I think that plays to Ricky's favor.
It is easy enough that if you have some positive momentum going and you feel confident in the way you're throwing the disc and putting, you can very quickly get on a hot streak. I see that point.
Now, one thing I wanted to bring up when you were just talking, because it's just not really a point with the Preserve, just really surprised me. Anthony Barella, three wins, right? Fifth in the Pro Tour's points.
Yeah.
Crazy. You have Gannon first. Ricky's up there. Nicklaus Antola has a second win because of Turku. So you do have to, he got just as many points for that. You did factor that. But then Ricky's above him, and I believe Calvin's above him.
Yeah.
Mainly due to AB's slip, right? The 44th, 61st, or whatever those two were, and one of them being an Elite Plus event. So there's a lot of guys that gained a lot of points on him. Mm-hmm. But I just thought that was crazy. You have a guy with three Pro Tour wins sitting in fifth.
Yeah, super weird.
And I don't know. The math adds up, but I feel like it shouldn't.
Yeah.
Wild.
It is wild. And he has to get his footing underneath him. I think it's difficult when you start off a season with a, like, we know when a guy comes out the gates like that, that's not going to be something that just continues happening throughout the year. If you come out the gates and you're lucky enough, and there's always going to be, you know, I would say Gannon and Calvin, maybe the two only exceptions in the sport where you can just expect them to win consistently throughout the year. But most golfers are going to play really good golf for a stretch. Hopefully you get a win during that stretch. AB got three of them, and then you're going to have ups and downs, and you got to get your footing underneath you. So I think that for him, he needs to take a step back, realize like that, he may be a little bit in panic mode. Like, what the heck's going on? I won all these events. Just go out and play a clean event and see where you stack up. You know, don't worry about trying to set the world on fire. Go out, play a clean event. It's an easy course, so go out and shoot well. Because AB, you're just playing solid
golf. Is he playing this weekend?
Actually, might not be. Now that I say it, I didn't pick him for anything, but I'm not sure if that's because I saw.
I don't have my phone on me. I just know there's some notable players missing, and yeah. I didn't write AB into my storylines.
I believe he was on the tee times.
Playing, okay.
I believe he was on the tee times. I did note that earlier, but I did not pick him because I don't necessarily think I'm ready to put him back into my top three. But I think it's a type of course where he'll be having short upshots on par fours. There's plenty of room to navigate the disc. I would expect. He needs to really get back into the top 15, top 10 here. I wouldn't be surprised if he can contend again, but I think if he's him, he just needs to settle back in, get back on his feet so he can start building momentum in the other direction.
Now, one player who is registered as of right now that I, for some reason, I didn't think this was the event they're coming back at, but it seems it is Simon Lazat.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
As of right now, Simon's on the registration list. If he actually does make his return here, what are your expectations for him?
I think as high as they ever will be because he has like self-proclaimed told us that that's just the way he plays disc golf now is he just kind of, he films videos for YouTube, plays here and there, shows up for tournaments and plays. And like, that's just, he's talented enough of a disc golfer. He's played long enough. That's just the way he's got a family that, and that's just how he attacks the sport. So I'm never going to look at Simon and be like, oh, he took time off. What's that going to be like? We were just there with him at Maple Hill. He threw the disc incredibly well.
Yeah.
So I think Simon at any given week is the guy that could win the tournament or be a non-factor. I would say out here, I expect him to have at least one, maybe two rounds that are really hot. And he could totally get in contention.
I'm expecting him in the top 15. I don't know much higher. I think 15th to 10th is kind of where I'm expecting Simon to be. Obviously, he could win. I think him winning is going to be all dependent on his putter. And it just comes down to over the last month with the new baby, how much did he get practice putting in?
Yeah.
You know, that's really this the question that only Simon knows the answer to. But that seems to always be the answer with Simon is like, if his putter gets hot, watch out.
Yeah,
and especially on this course, like he's not going to have a hard time navigating this course. When we played with him, he was puring lines, but that's just what Simon does. Mm-hmm. Like he just is one of the greatest throwers of the disc. It just comes down to, is his putter going in the basket or not? So if his putter's going in, he could definitely push for the win. I'm expecting it to kind of fall 15th to 10th, where I think he's going to put himself into a lot of positions. I don't think he's going to capitalize on all the birdie chances he could.
Hey, go-getters. Let Noom Sport Hydration Tablets power up your fun and keep you ready to move. Simply drop, dissolve, and enjoy crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade or lemon lime. With 5 essential electrolytes and crafted with clean, non-GMO, vegan, and gluten-free ingredients, Noom should be your go-to hydration choice. Because when you're hydrated, you can do more, go further, and recover quicker. Shop now on noonlife.com and get ready for endless fun, because anything can happen after noon.
My name is Nicole Kidman, and I've wanted to do a rom-com for so long, and along came A Family Affair. It's a great romantic comedy, and it's laugh out loud. If you feel like, I just need to curl up and watch something that feels very comforting, it's the Netflix experience. There's laughter and there's joy. That's A Family Affair.
A Family Affair, starring Nicole Kidman, Zac Efron, and Joey King. Directed by Richard LeGravenaise. Rated PG-13. Sexual content, partial nudity, and some strong language. Only on Netflix, June 28th.
Where it lands him personally. Now, we talked about some players missing. Calvin Heimberg and Eagle McMahon, I think, are two of the more notable misses from this event, Calvin being the biggest hole. Who do you think needs to capitalize on specifically Calvin's absence from the tournament this weekend?
Honestly, I'm going to go with Gannon Burr. And not because he has some need to win, but if you're playing as well as he is right now, where he's just unbeatable, and you see that now definitely one and really a second threat at this tournament is gone, you're got to be thinking, I'm going to get another one while I'm at it. You know, it's not often that you have chances to play where you have two really big competitors. And like I said, Calvin being really his main competition this year, not at the event. I would say, I mean, there are obviously a lot of guys looking to grab wins, and I think those people would be just as desperate whether he was there or not. But I think the only person who can look and say, I really have a better than 50% chance of winning this event normally, and then take away Calvin, it gets even higher. That's Gannon Burr.
You just said a stat that I missed, so I forgot we had with UDisc, which I don't know how accurate it was, but they're like percentage of win
Yeah. Oh, win percentage.
Yeah. We don't have that anymore.
Well, those stunk.
Yeah, but they were
they
fun.
They were really fun.
They
though.
Were fun. Yeah, they were. Like, you would go into the tournament and be like, oh, point. Chris Notaro has 85% chance to win
I
right
totally
now.
I forgot about that, too.
You said it and just like dinged in my head. I'm like, we haven't been able to look at that all year.
That's true.
Dang it, because that was a great stat.
It was
a
lot of fun to be like, Kristen has 99% chance.
Yeah. And they're giving her 99% chance with like 18 holes to go still.
Yeah, that was a good time.
Man, I missed that. But in my opinion, the player that needs to capitalize the most here is Ricky, just because I think this is one less player standing in his way of that first win. And, you know, we've talked about this multiple different times. I think he's got to get something going, in my opinion, especially as we start heading into majors. You know, he's on an all-time stretch, him and Rory McIlroy, and I think that, you know, if he can get something going at the Preserve, that'll really help, because, you know, I don't believe Ricky's gonna go winless this season. I really don't think so, but I would have thought he would have picked up one by now. Like, I would have thought he'd at least have one. So every week that goes by, you know, a different narrative will eventually start of what's going on with Rick. Can he get a win? And I think that this is a good, really good course for him. I think it lines up well, like we were talking about with the momentum. And he's got one less guy in his way.
Yeah.
You know, one less guy to chase down. Gannon Burrs, who you brought up, he's coming in off of back-to-back wins out in Portland. Can he make it three in a row and also be the first player to get to four wins this season?
Yeah, totally. I mean, when you get a course that's very attackable, and he's obviously a guy who's plenty built for scoring, he could shoot hot rounds with the best of them. He's got a full head of steam right now, and that makes him incredibly dangerous. When you get so many wins under your belt early and you're a player who does have a lot of that pressure to succeed, it alleviates that. You know, the only time he's going to feel, I think, elevated pressure now is the majors, because, you know, that's when you really cement your legacy. But as far as his regular season, it's already been stupendous. So I think right now Gannon Burrs is by far the most dangerous player, and he is going to be very difficult to beat.
I definitely think he could be the first guy to four
tough
wins.
To win three in a row, though.
But yeah, the three in a row is very tough.
Very
and
tough.
I think that if anything stands in Gannon's way, it's the same thing that I think is helping Ricky, which is this is a, like, you can't slip up course, right? And Gannon's talked about before, like, if he gets out of contention, he has a hard time, like, not necessarily caring, but kind of caring.
Well, I also think about, remember what baskets we were putting on?
Prodigy.
Yeah.
But to me, I think if Gannon doesn't come out, if Gannon's not in contention after round one, I think it could be a dangerous tournament for him.
Yeah.
Where obviously,
I don't think
he's still going to come.
You can't start slow at this event.
But, like, that's my only thing with Gannon is, he is already a player that's prone to, if he doesn't get a good start, he can slip. And then this event maximizes that, where there's not a lot of, like, make-up stroke chances.
Yeah.
So I think that's the only thing really standing Gannon's way. Because if Gannon comes out, he already has a bunch of momentum coming into the event. If he comes out and pops off a round where he's in the lead or really close contention, then it's his to lose.
Yeah, it'll be a spoiler.
But if he comes out slow out the gates, just a little slow out the gates, I think he could get in his own head and just kind of end up being a non-factor and, you know, finish something awful like 10th place or something. So it's definitely Gannon Burrs would be the favorite, especially with the absence of Calvin Heimberg. But personally, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think he's going to win three in a row, mainly just because that's so hard to do.
Yeah.
I just think that it's just
stats
not going to happen.
Not believe, do not point in that direction.
But it very easily could. Now, historically, we've seen some not-so-typical players get in the mix out here and even win. We have Bradley Williams, a former champ, Nico LeCastro as well. Last year, we had Cole Rodalin sneak in, which ended up not being that abnormal. But are there any players you think we need to keep an eye on to be that unusual player in contention this year?
I think that unusual player is going to be Paul McBeth.
Okay.
I think that this is going to be, like I said, it's a very favorable course. For anybody right now to win at and find your footing. I think that Paul's been slowly playing a little bit better event by event. I think that he's not going to, the little mistakes aren't going to cost him big time. And if he can get rolling and he can get himself in, I don't know that he necessarily will win, but I think he's going to be very dangerous out there if he can get rolling early and if his putt can be working for him. I think Paul McBeth could be that player. This could be that event that he sneaks in and wins and we're like, oh, There it is. There's Paul's win. He finally got one again.
I like that pick. I like that pick a lot. For me, the guy that came to my mind was Gavin Rathbun. Because I think that when we historically look back, like I had mentioned Cole Rodalin, that now we're already a little bit removed from it, but like that already, you look back and was a little out of place. He ended up winning Ledgestone and like a very consistent player last year. But I think when we look back at the history books, if Gavin Rathbun like won this event, that would feel out of place, even though in the context of the season, it's not.
Yeah.
Cause in the context of the season, he's been getting hotter and hotter. He's had some abnormal finishes, but like he's had several podiums already. He's been in the top four a bunch. And this feels like an event where he could get hot and this could be his weekend. So I think Gavin Rathbun's definitely a guy to look out for there, but I like the Paul pick two.
There you go.
Last player to bring up is Kevin Jones. He is signed up for this event right now. As of the recording of the show, we haven't seen an announcement.
Right.
Do you think there's going to be one made before the tournament of his new sponsor? And if not, what do you think he's bagging out there on the course?
I think most likely no. I think most likely we get a mixed bag with some Prodigy. And I could see him throwing like a Jokery in there and some Destroyers like that. So that's probably what we most likely get. But would it not be the biggest like in your face to Prodigy to right as they're about to have the their event there at the Preserve with their baskets. And that's the storyline to say, boom, I'm going to take over the news cycle by announcing that I'm moving to blank company. So I do think that opportunity is pretty juicy. And the closer they move it to the start of the event, like they could really take over the headlines. So yeah, that's what I'm rooting for.
Well, here's an alternate take on it. I don't know if we see him throwing anything this weekend.
Yeah, he might just not
he's got to get on coverage for us to
well,
see
that's
throw.
That's true. That's a good point.
No, I think most likely I'm expecting a majority Prodigy bag because like this announcement happened. Like he was throwing Prodigy 2 weeks ago. It's a pretty crazy move to switch your whole bag.
It depends how spiteful he feels.
That's what I'm saying.
He's still trying to move Prodigy molds.
But I like your take on. I think it'll be a mixed bag. I would go 80% Prodigy, and then the 20% that's not is like some of his old Destroyers, bosses,
favorite disused
Jokery. That'll be probably what he leans on. He'll probably try to find every excuse possible to throw a non-Prodigy mold. But if he came out with like no Prodigy disc in his bag, I don't think that'd be a good move. Like, I think he would struggle.
Prodigy bag with the duct tape over the logo? Is that what we could be seeing?
I don't know.
What kind of bag is he going to be carrying?
It's a great question, too. What did he used to carry? Probably a grip bag.
Oh, like back in the day?
Yeah.
Oh, who knows? Was he like a pound guy?
Surely. I don't know. Was it 4 pound?
Might have been Octothorpe out
could
there.
Could have been.
I don't know.
Octothorpin. Now, on the FBO side, Paige Pierce is a past champion out here and is coming in off of a fresh win for her with Portland Open. She missed Beaver State and obviously last weekend was Bonnaroo. So she's also coming in fresh off of some vibes.
Fresh off some vibes.
Has she
ever won fresh off of Bonnaroo? That's the question. This is speculation. We better stop.
Yeah, I don't know. But
that's drama.
Regardless, she's coming in fresh off of win at Portland. Could you imagine the brand turnaround if she's able to pick up a second win this year?
I can imagine it. I'm just not going to see it in my own two eyes.
You don't think so?
You think
no chance?
Oh, I'm never going to. It's FPL. I'll never say no chance. But
yeah, percentage chance. Do the win percentage.
Win percentage is 18%.
Okay.
I think that Paige Pierce had a real chance to capitalize on that victory, go right back in the next week and compete again. I'm going to be a classic journalist and be like, since we're kind of knee-jerk reaction guys, since she's waited 2 weeks, I've kind of like the hype has kind of died down for me.
Okay.
You know? And if she comes back out and plays again really well, I'll be right back. But like, there's too much time.
Win percentage for me, I was thinking closer to like 37.5%. My win percentage is pretty dialed, so that's how I go down to the half percentage.
Gosh.
I was thinking closer to 40%, just mainly because I think if you look at it, she went fifth and then first, so she had one. What I'm seeing is a lack of confidence. I'm saying there's a lack of confidence. A fifth place that said, "Hey, I can do this." Then she comes into an event with that confidence and wins. Now we're seeing her with like, now she's even more proved herself, I can do it, and she still doesn't have to face Evelina, Henna, Kristen.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this could be a really good chance for her. I think she could win. I like this course for her because it's similar to what you said for Paul, where like if she's making a little bit of mistakes here and there, you can really cover them up out here with whether it's good putting or just better approaches. You can really cover up a slew of mistakes out there. So I really like her for this event. I think she still has plenty of tough talent to go through to get the win, but I do have her in my top three. I'll say that much.
Okay.
Now, next down the list, Holland Hanley is, I think, one of the players she does have to go through. Jess also got a win. Yeah. She's also the best finisher from last year that is returning to this event, with Katrina Allen winning it last year and Kristen Tatar coming in second, and neither of them present. Holland Hanley was that player in third. And what's also interesting about, if you look at last year, if you take out Kristen and Kat, they were kind of an anomaly. Then you have the winning score at 13 under, which was Holland, and it was real tight because there was like a 3 or 4 people at 11 under and stuff like that behind her. So Holland Hanley, fresh off of a win, best finisher from last year in the field. What do you think of her?
I think she'll be really dangerous at this course. Distance will be an advantage if she can keep making putts. You know, she really proved herself as a serious competitor at Beaver State. That was an insane stretch there that she played to win that event. And that always speaks volumes when you're trying to think of like proven winners out there. Cause that was some incredible golf. So I think that she is still, it's been a slower trajectory than I necessarily thought for Holland, but I think she's still moving in a positive direction with her game, where she's getting better and better each event. So I think that she could be one of the favorites.
Yeah, no, I really like Holland out here. I think that the course really lines up to her game well. I'm going to say for her, it's similar to Simon, where I think it all comes down to putting. Mm-hmm. I don't have any worries about her throwing ability, getting her plenty of birdie chances. And with FPO, like I said, she was the best finisher returning at 13 under. She's not going to have to capitalize on that many birdie chances out here. It plays almost as a completely different course for FPO versus MPO, and I think it plays as a course that does lean towards her favor. So I really like her chances out here, but I do think that probably her biggest competition is Missy Gannon. She had a solid showing out here last year as well, and it has also been a month and a half since her last win. She has USW DGC and then won DDO. No. Something in May. How do I forget what she won? If I had my phone, I would look at
it. Anyways, been a long season so far.
It's been a long season. She has 2 wins, but it's been a month and a half since her last one. What do you think she needs to do to take it down out here?
You know, Missy Gannon, yeah, hasn't been making a lot of noise recently. I think that she just needs to get her putter going again, honestly. I think that was something where when she was winning, she was having a little more success in C2 and grabbing a few more strokes, because her throwing is always going to be kind of what it is. It's pretty consistent, doesn't have a lot of distance. I don't think distance is going to matter a ton at this course. So I think if she can make putts and have success just outside the circle with the putter especially, that'll be the difference. I think she's definitely overdue at this point to get back at least onto that podium or in contention for a win.
It was DDO because it was the foot fault playoff.
You're right.
Haley King situation.
You're right. You're a beast.
But I really like her out here. I do think I like Holland a little bit more, just because I think the distance is a good enough advantage for Holland. But realistically, I do think it comes down to putting out here. Because again, I think Missy, Holland, Paige, Ella Hansen, there's gonna be a lot of people that give Owen Scoggins, a lot of people that give themselves a lot of looks.
Yeah.
It's who's gonna capitalize on those looks.
Who's gonna make the 25 to 45 foot putts? That's how you're gonna score low. Is you might give yourself, you know, 5 of those putts around in that distance, and if you're the person who's making 4 out of 5, like, that's what's gonna keep you in it.
Yeah. Now, are there any other players in FPO that you think need to be looked at going into this weekend?
No, I think Kaylee King will be interesting. You mentioned her. Always interesting to see where she ends up on the leaderboard. But I think probably the most interesting watch will be Paige.
Yeah, Paige is definitely high on my list. The other player on my list is Valerie Mandahano.
Yeah.
She had, I think, a 5th place is her best finish on the year so far.
She's been okay.
Really want her to get something going. And I feel like this could be a good event for her to get something going. But yeah, expectations aren't high. It's just like, keep an eye out for her.
Yeah. I'll keep an eye out.
Just keep an eye out.
I will.
Yeah, just check the leaderboard. And if you see her name, be like, Hunter said something about
Hunter did say that.
Actually, I'm going to just make a statement so that we can clip it if we need to.
Yeah.
All of you viewers who actually watch the whole thing, when you see this clip, you'll know the context that this isn't actually my opinion. But listen, I love Valerie Mandahano's game for the Preserve. Don't be surprised when she takes this event down.
Paige Pierce is definitely going to win the Preserve. Holland Hanley is definitely going to win the Preserve.
Owen Scoggins. What if we just ended every show with that?
Every time something happened and we just came back to the set, acted like we were shooting the preview show, and said it in that context and then just posted it?
Like, look, I don't know why more people aren't talking about
it. For an entire week and see how long it takes people to catch on. Just
I don't know why more people aren't talking about Andrew Presnell going to the Champions Cup. Like, I think he is dialed in. I think he could really take this event down.
On Instagram would be like, how do they guess everything right?
Oh, good.
How do you have, they had Rathbun winning? What the heck?
I did have that opinion earlier, so we can't legitimately clip
that. That's a legit clip.
Heading into predictions, Trevor has a pretty commanding lead. He's at 64 points. I'm at 49 points. I do want to update y'all for the Dark Horse. We have changed via one of your comments to something that we probably should have been doing. I guess you can't do it at the beginning of the season, but now that we're mid-season,
yeah,
I think it's
true.
A good switch. We've changed to using the Disc Golf Pro Tour standings instead of the PGA World Rankings. That'll probably be the pattern. Yeah. Is like start with PGA World Rankings, halfway through the season jump to Pro Tour standings, because that gives you a much more clear picture of who's actually having a cold season, which is kind of the essence of the dark horse, versus this player had a cold season last year, really hot this year, they're still outside the top 30. So we're switching to that outside top 30 Pro Tour standing for the dark horse pick. But MPO, I'll go ahead and give mine. I have Ricky Wysocki taking this down. I think this is going to be his weekend.
That's got to be four this year.
It's got to be, but
that's
I like him here.
Three or four of that exact statement this
I got,
year.
I like him here, and I like him so much that I'm willing to put Gannon Burr in second, because that's the player that's the player that is probably actually going to win, and I can't afford to lose points. So I got to have Gannon in my top
He's
three.
He's inevitable right now.
So I put Gannon in second, and then I put Gavin Rathbun in third. Because I think this could be another weekend where he's up there.
We've got a similar idea here, because I have Gannon and Ricky. I've got Gannon in third, Ricky in second. I'm taking Paul McBeth's win.
You're taking it. Wow.
I've got this feeling, man.
You also have 15 points to work with. So.
Well, we both threw kind of an interesting player in the mix.
Now, for FPO, I have Holland Hanley coming in third. I did put Paige Pierce in second.
Yeah, okay. Respectable.
And I put Missy Gannon
Missy
in
to
first.
Win.
I like Missy
okay.
to win.
I got Missy in third, Holland in second, and Owen Scoggins in first.
Yeah.
I think she gets a revenge win over Holland. Course isn't super long. I'm predicting winning putt right in Holland's face, and then just punches her.
Oh, no, wow. Wow.
Dude, the revenge putt would be sick, though, because the one she hit to get to the playoff against Owen was insane.
It was.
It was absolutely insane.
It was wild. Now, my dark horse pick, I'm going with Alden Harris. Taking Alden Harris.
Alden, man. Where has he been this year? I'm going to take Corey Ellis. It got a lot harder now that we took the stand.
It is. It did.
There's no more of those cheater picks.
Yeah, it's got much more difficult. But get out there, watch some disc golf this weekend, and then tune in to Grip Locked on Monday for us to recap it all.
Heck yeah.
Hey, go-getters. Let Noom Sport Hydration Tablets power up your fun and keep you ready to move. Simply drop, dissolve, and enjoy crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade or lemon lime. With 5 essential electrolytes and crafted with clean, non-GMO, vegan, and gluten-free ingredients, Noom should be your go-to hydration choice. Because when you're hydrated, you can do more, go further, and recover quicker. Shop now on noonlife.com and get ready for endless fun, because anything can happen after noon.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In 2 clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
My name is Nicole Kidman, and I've wanted to do a rom-com for so long, and along came A Family Affair. It's a great romantic comedy, and it's laugh out loud. If you feel like, I just need to curl up and watch something that feels very comforting, it's the Netflix experience. There's laughter and there's joy. That's A Family Affair.
A Family Affair, starring Nicole Kidman, Zac Efron, and Joey King. Directed by Richard LeGravenaise. Rated PG-13. Sexual content, partial nudity, and some strong language. Only on Netflix, June 28th.